we want to be podcasting.
Oh, no, we don't know. There's no need for that.
Just let it happen naturally. You don't have to force it to be a cum thing. It'll happen by itself within the first 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, fine. Hello, welcome to Bunta Vista. It is episode 418. I'm Theo, and I'm a train. You know that. We know that. It's all getting a bit boring. Frankly, I'm sick of hearing about it. I don't mind it. We had that fun time, you know, a while back. We did the episode, did numbers. People like it. That's fine.
Numbers.
I'm also here, as usual, with my good friend Ben. And Ben has also been anthropomorphized, and he is, of course, a VW van in the style of the fucking one from Cars, I think. You know, the one where they're like, oh, man, it's the weed character.
Man,
it's
the why would I have character. Watched Cars?
Man, you can imagine that you just, you know what it is, though, right?
There's kind of a stoner van.
It's like, whoa, man, yeah.
And it's yeah, because they're all cars that have been given the sort of animus of life.
Yes.
The windshield's their eyes.
The windshield's their eyes. That's, yeah, that's important.
The hood or the bonnet is sort of where the mouth is, kind of.
It is, yeah. They talk with the air intake at the front, right?
Yeah, which I guess makes sense. That checks
makes
out.
Sense. All right.
And why are there one seats in the car? Intake. What? Where? Who are they driving?
Well, you can't see. They fix that problem. They solve the problem. I know it's very controversial to put the eyes in the windshield instead of in the accepted kind of shorthand of the headlights. That's right. But having the eyes being completely opaque and white solves the problem of the seats and that you never see them.
Do you ever see inside?
No, the doors do not open. No. But
I believe the doctor cars do see inside the cars.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see underneath one in a kind of medical procedure in the first one.
You don't want to see inside a human being. You don't want to see inside a car.
You don't want to see inside a car. That's true. in the Cars universe, that is. Also with me is the goth version of an A380 and. She's
Jesus
a
Christ.
Scene version. Scene. I got to use the right nomenclature.
Yeah, thank you.
And she's at a freaking pop punk show, but yep. She's an A380 walking around like
nailing it.
Yeah, like pencil art kind of style.
Like thank from God the movie no one Planes.
Sexualizes planes, or this could become problematic.
Yeah, this could be weird. All right, and where do you want me to go with this, Theo? You got like a direction you were taking this in, or that's just it?
That's just it. I mean, look, I kind of apparently I could lead a horse to water, but doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah,
this is where we're at with the intros.
Hi.
Yeah, hello, and finally, you may have already heard his voice. You may know him from well, there's your problem. And previously his podcasts on, I don't know, civil planning, talking about how shit the Hyperloop is. It's Justin Rozniak from, There's Your Problem and Do Not Eat. G'day, buddy. And, oh, sorry, and you are a funicular with truck nuts.
Oh, God. If I'm a funicular, is it like, you know, one eyeball's on one car and the other eyeball's on the other car?
Slowly gaining stereo vision as you get distance from one another.
Very, very limited. I hope I'm facing downhill and not uphill, because otherwise I'm not seeing much.
Yeah. Although, tilted towards the heavens, you're basically seeing, like, the universe, I guess.
Wouldn't they, like, they'd make them twins in the Cars universe if you had a pair of funiculars, one on the up, one on the down.
Absolutely, they're twins.
And they'd be what's annoying twins.
Oh, it's like a cable car.
They'd definitely be
I've
annoying,
not heard that
yeah.
word.
It's like a train on a steep angle, basically. But the whole carriage is tilted to match the angle of the slope that it's on.
Yeah.
And there's usually two of them. One goes up while the other goes down. They counterweight each other so
they
that
work
there's
on
less
the,
energy used.
There's
Never
a really
seen one
there's
of
a
these.
Cool one in downtown LA. Brisbane used to have one, Theo. Did you know that?
There a
used
funicular.
To be a funicular that used
really?
To go up to the original Cloudland Ballroom, which I only just learned
oh,
about.
Oh, shit.
Recently.
That is super Brisbane facts.
They used to be everywhere, and then we got rid of them because nice things are bad.
Nice things are bad, but like there's something, I don't know, to me, and I think. I don't have anything that would kind of point me towards this sort of feeling or result, but like there's something so comforting about like a special made vehicle placed on like the only spot that it can be. Because like a funicular has got to be the right angle. It's got to have the right run.
Well, you wouldn't make the right angle. That'd be too steep.
Yeah, fuck off.
That would be an elevator.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I went to this is a very, very long time ago when I used to go places because I had two incomes and zero kids. When we went to Austria, and there is a town next to like the Alps there, and to get to the top of the hill, you got to take like two different funiculars and then a cable car up there to get to like top of the mountain. And then you step out and you're literally like at the top of a proper mountain, not like the things that we call in Brisbane where it's like a hill with some tropical like trees on it kind of thing.
Sort of
like
Grand Budapest Hotel situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get out and it's like, you know, it's transported you to another world. And that's what the world of transport can, sometimes they transport you to like largely the same world.
Yeah, they transport you from Mount Gravatt to Brisbane CBD.
Yeah,
often. Yeah. But sometimes it's to the Oberstürzenplatz.
Yeah,
or whatever the fuck.
So I did. I got the idea to ask Justin on the show, and thank you for saying yes, Justin. It's always nice when people say yes instead of just not ever replying. Which is wonderful. because you retweeted something or you reflopped something of mine on Blue Sky, and obviously flattery just sets off my neurons. So that's nice. I've
always enjoyed this podcast because it always seems to have very nice vibes.
Thank you.
Also, that's why I got your coffee cup because it, you know, it feels good you to have a Punta Vista coffee in the morning.
You've got merch.
I do have merch.
Fuck?
That's rare. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Our Lithuanian mug manufacturer fell through at some point, unfortunately.
But of course, like, so you guys there's your problem. Just do a tour?
We did a tour of the Northeast United States. Yes, we did New York, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., and then Philly.
That's incredible. And there's and those cities are like 30 miles apart as well, which is...
Oh, yeah. Like you know, it's easier for me to get to New York than it is for people to get to New York from other parts of New York.
That's incredible. but then I was reminded of your Elon Hyperloop video that you did in 2019, which was sort of like... very, very funny at the time, kind of looking in and going, well, of course, like this is something that's never going to happen, right? You know, Elon was proposing, first of all, the Hyperloop being like, you know, hundreds of kilometers of vacuum tube cars. And then it became a thing where it's running underground on, you know, you drive your Tesla in and it's running on rails and it's going to transport tens of thousands of cars per hour into the middle of the city. And what you did was sort of just like take a piece of paper and kind of write some numbers out and do some like multiplication and stuff to work out that idea was stupid.
Yeah, it's very bad.
That it was never going to like kind of never going to work if like anybody checked. And that's the funny thing is like people
it's
could
called
just check.
Highways.
Yeah, like it's just like, hey, you've just built a more expensive highway that only Teslas can go, but... We were chatting about this in the DMs, that like how stupid you feel now.
Now that it's working.
Now that it's working, given all of the
now
success
that it's working
we're 5 years on.
Obviously, yeah.
it's just going gangbusters. They've got two Teslas down there. And sometimes one of them's not running.
Sick.
And they got one tunnel, which means they can use almost one of those Teslas at a time.
Yeah.
Fuck.
There's an average of just under one Tesla in the tunnel at a time,
which can take four people, but you only get three in there because there is, of course, the driver in the machine that is being sold as fully self-driving for over a decade now.
Yes.
In their defense, they are just operating in a tunnel with no other cars and like they control the entire environment as well. So it's probably reasonable that they don't get that going. I was watching videos by Ray Delahanty, also known as City Nerd on YouTube, about...
I like that guy.
Is he from Pennsylvania, just going from his accent?
Don't know.
Really started to enjoy a Pennsylvania accent. It's very underappreciated next to, I think people like to talk about the Boston accent because it's so funny.
I would say one of the things about Pennsylvania accent, and there's about 50 of them.
Yeah, but I don't know. They definitely share like a family, right? Like regular car reviews.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you're like sort of in the Southeast, but then, you know, if you go into cold country, it gets weird. If you go into like the Lehigh Valley, it also, there's going to be some differences there, or up in like the Wyoming Valley that's up by Scranton and places like that. Then you go like into proper Pennsylvania, which is the middle of the state, then, you know, it is... you got all the Pennsylvania Dutch out there, and they're not actually Dutch, they're German. But people couldn't pronounce Deutsch, so.
And they got that, what's the one fucked up accent that they used for, what was that TV show that was kind of average? The crime one, one season.
Mayor of Easttown? Mayor of Easttown, set in Delco.
Yeah.
I can't do a Delco accent, it's too complex. It's like one of our friends who's been on a podcast a couple times, Tom Payne, has like does linguistics as a hobby and has commented on, no, this accent is just incredibly linguistically complex, and it's also, you know, it is from some of the dumbest people in the world.
Yeah, Americans.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo.
Hey, no.
I mean, if you've got any good objections, we're open to them. Yeah. There are some beautiful people in America. We love them, most of them.
I had to delay this podcast to get a sandwich. I'm as dumb as anyone else.
From the Wawa, yeah.
From the Wawa.
Yeah, from the Wawa.
Hey, a sandwich. That's something that might appear on a menu. It's time for Looks Like Menu's Back on the Menu.
Looks Like Menu, back on the menu, boys.
Flawless. We all coordinated that.
It never stops hitting, honestly.
I'm really sorry about this segment. News was a little slow this week. You can only do this one if we're really in a pinch.
Yeah, it's not like the regular episodes where we talk about one cuck for 45 minutes.
Yeah, there's no way that's going to come up again.
Actually,
this episode,
I love the Grocerant Guru. One
I'm
of my favorites.
Coming around on him. I think he's got some pretty important stuff to say. Like,
he's got the juice.
He has got the juice. Steven Johnson, you've got the juice. This is from the Grocerant Guru. Inside America's quiet food safety crisis and why it's about to get worse. It's a bit of a change of tack for him,
right?
He's usually...
So we're going to touch on issues of class.
No, what?
I only ate half that sandwich, so I'm only going to get half as sick.
We've all been there. You're on the road, hungry, and the smell of fresh coffee and breakfast burritos pulls you into a convenience store. But something stops you. Maybe it's that roller grill hot dog turning one too many times, or the pre-cut fruit that looks a little too shiny. That hesitation? You're not alone. Now, this is maybe a cultural divide here. The idea of getting a breakfast burrito from a convenience store
or from a gas station.
We don't really have that.
That's too complex a construction to be... at a gas station, right? Yeah. Like, surely.
You got Dimmies.
Yeah. You got your Chico Rolls, obviously.
We're falling behind the world in this. This is on us, actually.
You could go to Bucky's, which is gradually starting to claw its way into the Northeast. Mm. Yeah. No, I have now been to one. I was amazed. I was also very hungover.
Because they used to be exclusively Texas when they started,
that was just
right?
Texas,
oh, was there
and
just
now there's one.
And now they're fucking everywhere. Well, not everywhere. I just keep seeing a lot of press releases about them opening up in different states.
There's one up by Harrisonburg, Virginia now I went to, and it was it's an experience. I'd probably enjoy it more if I was not extremely hungover and also with my dad.
It's kind of
ideal Bucky's experience.
How did your dad rate the Bucky's experience?
Well, my dad loved it.
It
was mediocre.
It's got that dad juice.
That is a very dad place to go. I will say that much.
All right. I'm just trying to relate this back to my own experiences and father and stuff. I know my dad likes to go to Jamaica Blue, the bad store.
Bad coffee place?
Yeah.
Dads love to go to Jamaica Blue, Zarafa's.
They all Merlot. Have those Serafas,
what are you
don't
talking
they?
About?
On the way to JB Hi-Fi.
I think Serafas is maybe national. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Don't know.
My dad loves Serafas.
You've got to have something sitting in your tummy when you go into JB Hi-Fi and you open and close all of the fridge doors to check like how easy or hard they are. Like, got to try the feel on them. Not going to buy them.
Well, no. You just got to check. You just got to know.
Yeah, you're going to come away with the cheapest TV.
I really like the idea of Bucky's being like, what if there was like a really big gas station, which is already kind of an art that has been covered in America extensively.
I think they got that, yes.
Like all the big ones.
What if you make it bigger than that?
It's genuinely, it seems like one of those on-the-nose American parody type things to see a sign that's like, we have over 100 fuel bowsers or whatever.
Fuck?
And you're like, okay, why?
That doesn't make sense.
The billboards for the Buc-ee's started 300 miles away and 5 years before it opened. It was insane. It was a phenomenon.
Also selling
weirdly
that seed.
Politicized. My aunt calls it MAGA Mart.
Is the right one Buc-ee's?
Yeah, I didn't realize Buc-ee's was political.
Fuck, I guess it's less political in Texas, but everywhere else it's political.
God damn, we need to start a left-wing Buc-ee's now.
Yeah, what's the Buc-ee's of the left?
Well, EV charging stations
instead of
petrol, obviously. Only vegan snacks on the inside. You can keep that the toilets are always clean as a thing. That doesn't need to be politicized. That can sort of...
Oh, is that a thing they advertise at Buc-ee's?
I think it's something they pride themselves on is how often the toilets are cleaned.
Oh.
The toilets are very clean. I will say that, yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
that, I think, is amazing. We should bring that in everywhere. Yeah. How about, here's a novel idea for you, big business. You should be able to go to a servo bathroom and not have one of the worst experiences of your life.
They're truly the worst. I'd rather do like the roadside stop. Like 100%. nasty bush toilet than one that's at a gas station at the servo.
I had my 5-year-old like hopping from foot to foot because he needed to go to the toilet when we were at the pub, and so we go to the toilets and there's one sit down toilet because all the urinals are at like head height for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we go
you
into
just
there,
hold him up,
and there's just a coiled unflushed shit, just like. All the way up the sides of the bowl.
Oh, God.
And you're like, how do we get to this point as a society? Because obviously the rules that we have are not working. We're not training people right. We're not casting the mild on ice flows anymore. I think that's our problem,
yeah,
right?
I think we should
like,
bring that back.
You leave a shit in the toilet and you walk away without flushing.
Something's gotta happen.
Ice flow time.
I think maybe we should, like, if you go in there, you see that, you should have, like, a legal right to see the CCTV footage of the entrance of the bathroom, pinpoint who it was, and then, you know.
Cut off his hands.
Yeah, you're gonna do a drone strike, you know. You're going to
predator a drone on his car as it's 50 kilometers away.
I think it's Handmaid's Tale, ironic punishment. You know, you cut off his hands, you attach toilet brushes.
Mm.
Yes.
He's remade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I remember the remaking that they did in The Handmaid's Tale.
The
remaking?
No, well, the fuck off. I haven't seen it.
Work
with me. I'm drawing from multiple sources.
Intertextual references.
Intertextualized.
Collage,
like,
yes.
Like, old mate, from Me Without You, you don't even know what my sources are. I'm pulling from the Bible. I'm pulling from an anime I saw once. It's Akira.
A new 2025 Lodge Isle convenience store food quality and safety report found that 79% of Americans worry about contamination or spoilage in ready-to-eat food sold at gas stations and convenience stores.
I don't believe you can get sick from a gas station hot dog. I don't think spiritually you can receive sickness from it because it's like it's so far away from food that it's like transcended something that could make you sick. It's something else.
Yeah. It's its base elements kind of.
Ultimately, the thing about the hot dog roller is that the food has been kept above food safe temperature for a very long time. I say this as someone who has access to a hot dog roller and who has used it to serve food recreationally.
Oh, shit. They let you have that without like a commercial license?
Yes. Yeah, no, I, yeah, well, it was technically, it was commercial, but.
Get a license for that thing?
No, you could just buy a hot dog roller. It wasn't my hot dog roller.
Shit,
it
dude, belongs you roll dogs in the home? That's fucking amazing.
Anytime you wake up 2 a.m., oh, those things are rolling.
Oh, the hot dogs are just rolling.
Yeah. Slap a bun around that.
Fuck, that's so good. Just the gentle hum of the hot dog roller acting as white noise as you fall asleep.
I just have one in the foyer of the house.
I've never had an American hot dog though, so I don't know necessarily what texture I'm dealing with here. I think Australians, we're often, because like our stuff, is it just the pink? Because we boil ours, right? Like if you go and get a hot dog from a stand or whatever,
their dog tech's pretty.
Better dog tech, yeah.
You're
better
dog tech. Yeah. If you're getting a good dog, you're getting the snap.
Yeah, you're getting a good dog snap. We're getting that boiled snap. So I don't really know. Is it more similar to like the German style hot dog?
I mean, it's regional. It's heavily
it's regional.
It's regional. It's also what you prefer. I mean, in the case where I was using it, we got some very simple, you know, sort of commercial, you know, pink paste hot dogs, you know, that's sort of you get. But we had homemade chili that we put on them.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. Nice. Chili dog.
Yeah. Throw a little bit of mustard, some raw onion, some cheese. You know, it was a good time.
It's so the foods that America does well are so good compared to the other stuff that they do. It's so bad. You really have stacked all of your points in hot dog,
everything's in food,
burger, wings. Really nailed those ones.
Yeah.
Then you call a bunch of other shit salads. It's just not even really close.
Oh, I thought you were talking like geopolitically or whatever.
Yeah, same.
Oh, it's sort of morally bad. The American Empire is evil to its core.
It's kind of the hot dogs and there's like the colonialism.
Yeah.
They kind of balance
sort of
each
like
other out.
Moloch, the shape of a country kind of deal.
Yeah. Looming
like
over
Moloch
everyone
with
else.
Chili dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that trade-off worth it?
Well, it's the only one we have.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's the one we have, not the one we want.
Yeah.
I mean, if we didn't have America, we wouldn't have a bunch of shitty facsimile American-style bars here. So, you know.
I'm so sick of that shit. When is that done? When is that over?
It's never going to be done. I just saw a thing on my Instagram yesterday for a fine dining version of an American diner that opened up in Sydney.
Christ.
And it sounds insufferable, but the menu looks so fucking good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, thinking about that.
What is an American-style bar in Australia?
You
I'm
going
to skip the obvious joke, which is it's
really
upside down, but
it's miserable. It's fucking miserable. It's imagine like someone intentionally trying to make their place look dingy, putting up a bunch of like Coors Light signs,
even though we don't have it. Like,
and
the
then
beers
you
got to
pay $15 for a can of PBR and like,
oh, God.
Do we have any in Brisbane?
I think they've all died.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one near me. Like, is it Five Boroughs?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, Five Boroughs.
There's just kind of that everywhere. It's just like burgers and wings that aren't very good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 10 years ago, it was the wings craze, right? Where we had like just maybe it was 15 years ago in Brisbane, there was just like five wings places opened up simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take your pick of wings.
Do they like also, one of the things we have at bars in the United States is for some reason, the bathrooms are intentionally made shitty.
Oh, yeah, like disgusting, like drawn all over.
Yeah, just like really nasty. They're drawn all over. Sometimes the stalls don't work or they're too short or they're too tall.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know.
That's one of the other great American evils. No. We've talked about this before, but American toilet door design.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Fucked.
What's the deal?
Is that like for an active shooter situation? So you can kind of like fire a gun out like a crenulation?
I mean, when I went to go take my SATs, the American College Entrance exams, it was like I went to a different high school than the normal one I was in. I had to use the restroom between like the exams, and I go into the restroom, and you know, I had to do a number two, and I look at the bathroom stalls. They didn't even have doors on them.
In like high school.
What the
What the fuck?
Yeah, and I was like, nah, so I'm going to hold it and do worse, I guess.
Yeah. Right?
Fuck. I'm not doing that.
That's fucking
insane.
What
is what?
Yeah. Man.
Jesus Christ. Evil. Evil country.
There's something wrong with bathrooms in this country. There's no dignity. No.
I mean, there's the Pittsburgh toilet, right? Is that the Pittsburgh toilet or Pennsylvania toilet?
Pittsburgh toilet, which is...
But that's in your own home. Mm.
That's you in your own home. It's in your own basement. And it's, no one actually the basement knows why one, it's right? there.
I remember that.
With no walls or anything. It's just some ceramic sitting in the middle of the room.
There's like several theories as to why those exist, and none of them are right.
The kind of the coal miner theory where you gotta be able to get there, like in your coal duds or whatever, right?
Or it's just like a convenient plumbing fixture that if the sewer backs up, it backs up into your basement as opposed to.
Ben's apartment actually played that role once for the apartments above. Above his.
Yeah, I don't think that was fucking by design.
Well, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Well, it works for everyone else in the apartment.
It works for everyone else, yeah.
You are welcome.
You jumped on the grenade.
Yeah, we're going to put all the dookie in one spot.
I didn't even get a single goddamn thank you. Not even when I was moving out of my apartment did anyone make eye contact with me and say, hey, sorry about my turds.
Yeah, some of those turds, some of them were mine. I'm really sorry.
Goddamn. Poor this happened guys. During Tom and Demi's wedding as well. It's just fun to think about.
What? Well, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Synecdoche.
Over the past 20 years, the U.S. food industry has reinvented fast food. We now live in a world where you can grab a sushi from a 7-Eleven in Tokyo or a burrito from a gas station in Tulsa. Grocery stores like Kroger, Publix, and Walmart sell chef-prepared meals that rival restaurants. And even Dollar General is testing grab-and-go sandwiches and salads.
Yep.
Yeah, crazy.
Chef prepared meal from Kroger. Meal from
Publix? Yeah, what are we talking about? You're not chef prepared in what sense?
In what way?
There's a person involved at some point in the meal, I think, is what they mean,
I
right?
Guess like, I don't know. Not from Kroger. No. That's not real. I'm sorry.
I think you can't be throwing around the word chef that easily. You say cook prepared. Perhaps.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not picturing a guy with the hat with the 100 folds in it or whatever. This isn't fucking happening.
We've got sushi at the supermarket.
Oh, it's not a good idea.
Some guy behind the deli counter put together a sandwich and then he wrapped it up and then they put it on the shelf. That's fine. He's not a chef.
No.
He's the guy delivering listeria to you via boar's head cheese or whatever.
He doesn't even sell amphetamines in the alleyway beside the shop. In Australia, though, I would say we have a proud tradition of this being like put together by very stern-looking cafeteria ladies.
Are you talking about like at a carvery?
Like
a carvery,
perfect. There's the word, yeah.
Yeah, that's a dying art, I think, industrial area carvery. It's a shame.
Another thing after working from home, just the damage it's done.
That's brutal.
I've never heard of this before, but it seems very nice.
It feels very like 1970s Australia. They do still kind of exist. It's like a deli counter where they will have like a couple of whole roast porks and whole roast beefs. Yeah. And like you're getting a pork and gravy roll. You're getting a beef and gravy roll. You're getting maybe some dim sims deep fried, obviously. Ooh. They might do fresh sandwiches, maybe, but not always.
You're getting some veggies on there, though. You're getting some shredded lettuce. You're getting some
iceberg lettuce.
Carrot.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. There's absolutely no features on the inside of this as well. Everything is made of, like, if you take the plastic that the cheapest cutting board is made out of and kind of extend that to an entire store, that is the inside of a carvery.
Yeah.
I'm interested now. I need to go to one of these.
They are maybe the only truly authentic Australian experience left.
They might be.
There used to be a really shitty carvery at Toowong. No, I've already talked about this on the podcast several times, I think. I fantasize about one particular schnitzel and gravy roll. There was at a carvery at Toowong Village that I used to get when I was 19 all the time. It was just so much food for so little money.
Yeah, but was it good because it was good, or was it good because you were 19, Ben?
I was way more depressed when I was 19 than I am now. I had a lot of mental health back then.
Yeah, people are talking about, well, when your childhood, you know, everything was good. And like, what the fuck you mean?
I was fucking miserable.
That's wrong.
What do you mean?
Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be the easiest part of your life. Well, it's actually the worst and hardest.
It was so hard.
It was so hard, brother. It was
so hard, dude.
When you turn 30 and everything gets better, yeah. God damn, that's the feeling.
It does, though.
Yes.
It does get better.
It low-key does. It,
yeah, you know, you want to write off huge parts of your life. Like, that was bad. Don't need that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Not only do I want to write them off, I kind of want to put them in the car cuber and cube them. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah. The 20s are the pencil sketch with which you trace over with your good Copics in your 30s to draw a beautiful...
And you add a big knocker as well.
Dragon with a huge cock. And,
Big dragon cock.
But here's the twist. While the ready-to-eat revolution exploded, the infrastructure meant to protect consumers didn't keep up. Since 2005, the FDA's food safety inspection funding has dropped nearly 15% in real dollars, even as global imports and fresh food sales skyrocketed. Today, fewer inspectors monitor more suppliers, more imports, and more complex temperature-sensitive products than ever before. When FDA oversight weakens, history tells us what happens next. The 2006...
Well, it's got to be that the prices go down, right? Business becomes more efficient.
Less red tape.
When you move to a like a punishment-based model, right? You still have the laws there. When someone messes up, you come in, you bring down the hammer, but you got to let business regulate itself. Yes. Otherwise,
I will simply go to the other grocery store in my neighborhood that doesn't give me listeria.
Let people vote with their feet and their dollars.
Yeah, yes. And their toilet.
You know what the thing about prevention is?
Yeah.
With prevention, you have to do it to everything. With revenge, you only have to do it to the ones that go bad. So true. It's way more efficient. It's targeted. It's laser targeted. It's much more efficient.
I was just in parallel. I know I talked a lot about the Hyperloop up front, but like this just happened by itself when we were kind of putting stuff, looking at what we could do for this episode and that sort of stuff. I saw an article about all of the like safety violations at the Vegas Loop. Obviously, there's a lot, and Elon being on record being like, "Yeah, we want to punish people that do the wrong thing, but we." Regulation just gets in the way. Then you go and read the list of like violations. There's like just people melting in puddles of acid in a tunnel somewhere under the surface of Vegas.
That's normal.
Awesome.
I don't think the tunnels have fire escapes either. Like they did some shit to get around the National Fire Protection Act.
Well, that would only work if they have kind of like the implicit agreement of the government that they're not going to look into anything at all. And I'm pretty certain Vegas government is all above board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, as long as like none of the cars set on fire, everyone's going to be.
No one's ever heard of a Tesla catching on fire. Yeah.
I'll say they look stupid.
Yeah,
as
they look kind of bad as well.
They look kind of stupid, bad looking car. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon Musk should kill himself.
Yeah, he should.
Here are some examples of what happens when FDA oversight weakens. The 2006 E. coli outbreak in spinach sickened 200 people and shuttered farms. Chipotle's 2015 food board illness crisis cost the chain over $25 million in fines, wiped out billions off its market cap. Salad recalls, once rare, have surged 40% in the last 5 years, according to CDC data.
I feel like that's one of the other things you learn when you turn 30 or whatever is like, E. coli is mostly in salad.
Listeria almost entirely in salad.
Spinach leaves.
Lettuce.
I was about to say, the one thing in common here, uncooked greens. Folks, cook your greens.
Yeah, boil your lettuce.
Safety first.
Yeah,
I never used to
spinach.
My vegetables until living in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, no, you've got to wash your vegetables.
You don't have to.
Huh? Yeah, let's leave that one in there.
Odd belief. If 2026 brings federal budget cutbacks to food safety programs, experts warn that the next contamination event might not start in a big factory. It could start at your local store's cooler. Lodgar's research makes one thing clear. Americans are hyper aware of what feels unsafe. 85% wouldn't buy sushi from a gas station.
I think that's one way to describe Americans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Supermarket sushi? A little sus. Assault weapon.
Yeah.
Good.
Very good.
Give that to an 8-year-old.
Yes.
I mean, I think I'm on board with probably stay away from gas station.
I would
sushi,
never
I think,
buy
probably.
Sushi at the gas station.
But I would buy one from the konbini, you know, if I was in Japan.
It is a strange meeting of worlds, though. Sushi at the gas station.
Yeah.
Could be something comedic. Maybe.
Crazy. Yeah. What like thinking? If your dad was your Japanese thoughts? Or your mum was Japanese.
His dad was from Ohio.
That's Texan. A callback.
Yeah. 41% skip prepackaged salads, 40% avoid pre-cut fruit, 59% won't touch food if the prep area looks dirty, and only 9% feel highly confident eating from convenience stores.
There you go.
My personal belief, this is, you know, operating by Australian rules, is if they sell it, it's fine. It would be a legal nightmare.
It would be illegal, yeah.
Yes.
But then I've also had places from some things where I had a... a hamburger from like the pie warmer at a servo in Wilcannia that was basically uncooked, like took one bite out of it. The outside was like light brown and it was still fully pink on the inside. Oh. And it had probably been in there for days.
Rare.
Didn't make me sick though. So, you know, the system works.
Yeah. It's the exception that
that's
proves
sort
the
of a very right. cheap steak tartare there.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a very high class experience. Oh,
that gas station steak
tartare. It was fucking nasty.
Slap some horseradish on it, you're good.
It's the only place in Wilcannia you can buy food.
Get some steak tartare. Oh. And some mozzarella sticks on the side.
I feel like this is, I feel kind of the same about this as I do about cruise ships, where like it's insane that there's a thing where you're just guaranteed to get sick and society is like, ah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
This is the cost we pay
it.
To be on a cruise ship.
Yeah, and the money as well.
And the money as well, yeah.
Yeah, the cost of the going, the ticket and your accommodation and the drinks,
and the
that's
diarrhea.
Where they get you.
Yes.
It's the drinks and the diarrhea. Cleanliness is no longer just about aesthetics. It's brand trust in action.
What do you mean cleanliness is only about...
It's, cleanliness is what?
Is... No, there's something else that cleanliness is about.
There's another reason that
there's
we're
another
cleaning
reason.
The food prep bench, yeah.
There's a reason why we are trained that the aesthetics are pleasing.
Yeah.
It might be linked to
there's
something
else,
though.
There's a reason our brain likes it when it's clean. Yeah.
Clean is nice.
Clean
it's visually simpler, and I like things that are visually simple. I don't like noise or clutter.
Yeah, I don't like clutter. I don't like to see a bunch of, you know, old food lying around everywhere. You know,
it's just against my sensibility.
It's just, yeah, like,
I'm just kind of OCD visually. Like that, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's just kind of an interesting quirk of me. Yeah. Consumers don't just want food that looks fresh. They want proof that it's fresh. Trust us isn't enough anymore. Consumers want to see the system working. As Logile CEO Purna Mishra puts it.
What do you mean?
Quote, empowering frontline workers to deliver confidence at every touch point isn't just operationally smart. It's essential to long-term loyalty. That means digital temperature tracking, freshness monitoring, and real-time cleaning alerts, not buried in a back office but displayed for shoppers to see. Imagine walking to a convenience store and seeing a digital board that says salads prepared at 8:12 a.m., last temperature check, 9:47 a.m., cooler sanitized, 10 a.m.
I don't want this. This is going to make me more anxious about it. I've never thought about the temperature. I just want to blindly trust the gas station.
Yeah.
It feels good to me.
Sandwich on the shelf? That's for me.
Yeah.
And I buy it and eat it.
Americans, you need your ring cameras. You need your meat thermometers.
Everything's got to be documented. Everything's got to be recorded. Everything's got to be scanned at all times.
Anxious society.
The way it works at 7-Eleven, I don't know why I know this, but I know this, is that, okay, hot dog's been on the roller for 3 hours. Change it out. New hot dog.
Yeah,
that's probably
it's a simple,
for the best.
It's a simple system.
Yeah.
System works.
Yeah. Simple system, yeah.
We should
every
live
3 hours, we're changing out the hot dogs.
In a society, you should be able to trust if something is for sale, it's not going to kill you. That's just a belief that I have. And I don't know if it's because I'm a big government sicko.
That's why we've got food safety standards.
This is
so
just,
you can
this
trust
is a vector for paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't want to have to track all of this shit as well. There should someone, like, as always, you can kind of take the in extremis kind of approach and just go like, well, someone else should track this for me. Well, maybe we should pay someone, but they'll have to be trusted, so they might have to come from some sort of central authority, and it's probably good if they kind of like
possible.
Check all of them themselves, because they would deal with like scale.
Society needs Judd.
Society needs Judd.
Society needs Judd.
I feel like the times thing is insane, because you're then asking You're either doing two things. You're either providing the information so that the customer can make a judgment call about whether they're safe with
yeah.
that, which is insane.
Which is crazy.
It shouldn't yeah. be a judgment call. It should be 100% trust.
It shouldn't be my judgment.
Or
yeah.
you're putting your accountability for whether the employees are cleaning often enough, rotating stuff often enough, as a the way you're doing accountability is public shame. Instead of just having like policies that people follow, you're putting yes. the stuff on display so that they're like, oh, fuck, people will know I didn't swap
yeah.
this.
It's like another vector for them roller. To getting yelled at. Mm.
Yeah, which no, is
I
not.
I think it's worse. You're turning the customer has to become their own health inspector. This is
yeah.
another
well,
job.
That's the,
I
that's,
have to
that's
do.
A beautiful
and then
American idea,
I have
though.
To do self-checkout, and then I don't know. They'll find something else to make me do.
I'm sick
I
of
just
it.
Want to yeah. buy a hot dog.
I'm fucking sick of this shit. I want to be able to walk into a place,
crazy.
Pick it up off a shelf and say, can I buy this? And a person says, absolutely, you may. And then
if
that's
I get
it.
Diarrhea, that's my problem. Yeah. Like, come I mean, on.
Lucy, do you remember the wonder at the first convenience store bento box you got in Japan?
Yeah, probably. It's crazy like, over there.
It's crazy, right? You just walk in and it's just like,
we've
hey,
all
here's
talked
a...
about this plenty, but.
Yeah, and it's like a better world is possible. It's not necessarily.
It's not going to happen here.
It's not going to happen here. It's absolutely not happening here.
It's never going to happen here. Never to the same extent. And they're trying. You can tell 7-Eleven is like hooked into how like millennials love Japan and Japanese convenience stores.
But they don't have the fundamentals.
We don't have the fundamentals. We don't have the culture for it. We don't have. They're not willing to put the money in it.
Yeah.
Like they're already. Yeah. 7-Eleven in Australia has already been part of several big underpayment scams and stuff as well, where they're not already not paying their employees.
I think we need some high profile CEO suicides.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. I'm in America. They're cracking down.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna start getting people to do this podcast from international waters just to be safe.
Yeah, no, that's
up,
not
up over the border.
That doesn't
in Canada.
Save you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, some guys in Colombia have something to say for them about that.
Yeah, you get in JD Vance's crosshairs.
Where are we gonna put all the Americans when all the good ones have to leave? What are we gonna do with them?
Like the rest of them?
Like the good ones.
What are we
going to
do with the good ones?
Where are we
like 100 million Americans.
Yeah.
In Brisbane, yes.
Fuck. Mega City 1.
Mega City.
Out west of Dolby.
Yeah. It runs all the way
Yanktown.
Runs all the way to Mount
Yanktown,
Warning.
Queensland. Set up a company town.
Yeah, that's right. You only get paid in Yanktown bucks.
We did this in World War II. My grandma, Viv, still alive, tells us about like when they were living in like regional Queensland. There was an enormous US military base out there, and she'd go out there and flirt with all the
Viv.
Army boys.
Viv, you slut.
Bitch, yes.
And by my math, she would have been 14 maximum.
God. Damn.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
And I assume they're flirting back as well.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, come on.
This is a great, charming anecdote for a while. Consumers aren't just comparing prices anymore. They're comparing trust. In an age where the line between restaurant and retail food blurs, the next brand to win the fresh food race won't just serve great meals. They'll serve peace of mind.
No, I have to be my own health inspector.
No. Yeah. That's fine. We already had the peace of mind.
Opposite of
I
it.
Already blindly trust it.
Yeah, we've lost the peace of mind because like every week I see another story about mass recalls of lettuce, listeria.
I think we've talked about this before, but like we assume that like there's not as much salmonella and stuff in Australia, but we just don't get as many reports. I think our salmonella levels are like higher than the US. I just assumed it wasn't such a big deal here because we just don't really talk about it on the news as much. But
it's
like
sometimes
uncouth.
I think we have a much higher level of salmonella outbreaks.
Well, you know, we get the because we eat a lot of salad in like big wet plastic bags, and it's quite hot here. So those plastic bags
get warm.
Hotter and wetter, yes. I assume in there.
Do you know those plastic bags are made out of a special plastic? It's not regular plastic. They're made out of like a special kind of like breathable plastic. That's the only reason that lettuce survives in there.
Otherwise, it would just like turn wet and mushy in
like instantly,
6 hours
yeah.
instead of 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's like a weird kind of high-tech bag, and I can remember no specific like details Gore-Tex. About it, but I did learn about it on an episode of 99% Invisible.
Uh-huh.
Can't remember what episode. Just sort of Google lettuce, Roman Mars. It'll come up. Hey, I bet some things were maybe better or worse back in the past. To find out, we'd have to ask someone from Gen X. We talk about Gen X in Gen X Watch. This comes to us from r/Gen X. What road trip memories do you think were unique, or did everyone experience them? That's a pretty... What? We probably had a lot of universal experiences on road trips, even between road countries, trips. You know?
Yeah.
Dad saying you can't turn the light on in the back of the car because you'll instantly die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll send your poor old dad to jail.
Yeah, for having the rear interior light on.
Having the rear interior light on. I actually have to do that one a lot.
Oh, you're already doing it?
Oh, yeah. They're getting in there. They're fucking with every switch. Okay, so here's how it goes, right? So sometimes the kids won't get out of the car straight away when we get home, right? And then we're like carrying big piles of shit, all our burdens out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put them away. By the time we come back, they're having a nice little game in the car. They're playing. They're like, you know, jumping all around. We go, hey, what's the harm in letting them play? You know what the harm is? Every fucking
switch
fucked with.
Yeah. It's turning your car into eco mode, whatever the fuck that is.
It's always in eco mode, let's be real.
I think my car has an eco mode.
I call it not
button.
Being in eco mode, fast mode, and I give it to the kids as a treat.
Dad's going to put the car in sports mode.
Do you reckon? Like, no, not sports mode. Not sports mode. Let's be very clear mode. About this. So in the Skoda, there is three modes. There's economy, which it's always in. There's drive. And then there's sports mode.
All what right? do you mean?
Now, sports mode is for when I need to get, like when it's a really busy, like four-lane road and I've got to turn right across it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm going to chuck that in sports mode. But it's not for enjoyment. Now, in the Leaf... There is an eco mode and then there's eco off. And it's always in eco mode because it's an EV and the battery's not going to last otherwise. But sometimes there's a little treat to my boys. We're going somewhere they don't want to go. We're going to Kindy, right? And they start whinging. I say, hey, you want to see if fast mode works? And that's when eco comes off. Zero to 50 in like 6 or 7 seconds.
In your tiny... compact electric joke car.
It's not a joke car.
Hey, like, kids, check this out. God, you are a great dad. That's top quality dad stuff. My car That's has good. A snow mode button, which obviously don't get a lot of use of. Got yeah. to turn it on one time when we were in Jindabyne.
What
I
does
felt
it do?
Fucking amazing. No idea. Didn't bother looking
at
the manual.
Up the traction control, right? Like,
yeah, or something. I don't know, because my car's already all drive. It's already pretty good with traction stuff, so I don't know. But felt
it's
great.
It's like amazingly it applying chains to the tires without you even noticing.
That's
you
right. Yeah. My parents fought like cats and dogs on family summer trips. Dad worked for the government and they had a convention every year that they paid for his room. That was our vacation. The thing that really stands out so in my cool. memories, other than mum and dad fighting the whole way, was dad would pull up to a random hotel if he had to shit. He'd ask to see a room and do his business, then he'd take the key back and we'd be on our way. What are your memories?
Not that.
I don't think that one's probably not universal.
I don't think that's universal.
I think that might just be your dad.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit. I like
good.
That.
That's such an insane dad move to pull. Be like, I got to check out the room first. I won't stay there unless we can see the room.
And like, no wonder they're fighting because your dad's insane. Like, oh my God, your dad's got to go to another hotel to shit.
We can't do this in another fucking Ramada. We can't.
I can't do this.
We've been banned from Red Roof already. We can't be doing this shit.
I gotta pull off the Jersey Turnpike to go find a hotel and take a shit.
I mean,
this is costing us $2 extra in tolls.
You're not shitting in like a McDonald's like the rest of us.
But I mean, they're terrible. We talked about this.
Yeah, that's true.
This is why.
He's like, obviously he's onto something here. Like, obviously, logically, he's completely correct.
Oh, yeah. In a sort of like
but the
cold,
emotional damage.
Clinical Anton Chigurh logic. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I cannot disagree with the strategy in any way.
Doesn't cost you any money. Guaranteed clean toilet.
Fun. Little fun thing to do.
Yeah. Little fun thing to do, yeah.
And you're smiling. You're walking smiling. Back with the keys. Yeah. And you're just like, nah, not for me. Ooh, it's stinky in there. Yeah. Goodbye.
I don't want this room. It kind of smells like stinky. Shit. It
smells like shit in there.
I can't even say it's like not sustainable because there's so many rooms in a hotel.
So many. Yeah.
People could do that constantly. Everyone could be pulling off the highway to pull this. And it's like, yeah, there's like 100 rooms in that hotel. It doesn't fucking matter.
There's so many toilets that aren't being shit in right now. And there are people out there who
need toilets.
Everyone insists that they need to have like one toilet in their home, but they're not using it 24 hours a day. We should just have some sort of communal toilets at the end of the street that everyone shares.
Time-shared toilets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, make them a public resource, obviously. I think I just invented public toilets.
Public toilets, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got
you're going to have to jailblock this episode in, like, California.
No one in San Francisco could hear this idea.
Yeah. Was it Japan? I can't remember. I've got this incredibly vivid memory of this public toilet that you pay like $2 for, and it's just this metal box on the street, and it looks like Bender's like suicide booth. Mm-hmm. But you go in, you do your shit, and then like something happens, like a big dishwasher on the inside, and it just sprays the entire thing with hot water and chemicals.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Where was this? Where did I experience
this? They just installed something like that near City Hall in Philly, I want to say.
Oh. You giving them a shot yet?
Apparently, there's a lot of interlocks to make sure that you don't get trapped
in
the dishwasher scenario.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You don't want the fucking machine that cooks homeless people. Like, goddamn. Gavin Newsom's ears just pricked up.
What did I see this in? I saw a movie recently where someone got trapped in one of the self-cleaning toilets somewhere.
Do our robot ones self clean or are they just robot toilets? You know, the ones with like the automatic lock? Do you guys not have the, is this not a Brisbane thing?
What are you fucking talking about?
The robot ones where you got to press a button to unlock it and it's all automatic.
It sounds
like an alarm when you've been in there for too long.
Door?
And you've got to press the thing
just
again.
Just the door is all automatic or what?
Yeah. You guys don't have these? All right, never mind.
I don't know, so many of these toilets are probably just anti-heroin measures, right? Like, they're all just to stop you from nodding off on the toilet.
They've got, like, a 10-minute thing on them, which is not enough time.
Which is not enough time.
It's not enough time.
Sorry, I figured out the thing I was trying to think of. It's an episode of How To with John Wilson where he deliberately gets himself inside one of the toilets and then gets off the floor to make it think that he's not in there anymore so that it cleans itself while he's in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
He survived. He's still alive. Ooh. He finished the show. A wonderful program, too.
Yeah.
That was that whole Reddit post, by the way. I didn't bother going into the replies. I was just really delighted to find one completely insane person.
Like, well, I mean, obviously there are universal feelings to road trips, right? That's not it, though. That's not the universal
one. I don't think it's your dad shitting in the motel toilets.
Did you guys, in those sort of pre-mobile internet days, when we went on road trips, like multi-day road trips or whatever, if we were driving, you know, Brisbane
from
Melbourne
to the next
or whatever.
City,
Yeah. That when we stopped to stay somewhere, we'd never book anything in advance. You just roll into town and Dad would just pull up out the front of basically every single motel in town and be like, how much does it cost? What are the facilities? Interesting. And then we'd go to the next one and he'd sort of try and haggle them down sometimes. But it was like an hour-long process of like rocking up to Coffs Harbour and then eventually picking the Matador Hotel.
Well,
I sort of have done that when Liam and I went on road trips. But I just booked the hotel at the very last second through Hotwire and had a talent for getting something that was very nice. I used this through a unique technique called paying more money.
Which is not always a dad option.
No, that is not always a dad option. This is true.
When I, like, The big road trips that I've done through America, my usual MO if I was staying in a hotel and not like camping and stuff, was just to go into a town, pull up in a park somewhere, and then get on like hotel or booking.com or whatever, see whatever was cheaper by like $10 and get that, book it, and then drive 2 minutes to where the hotel was and be like, oh, you got to be getting a hotel.com thing coming through soon. They're like, oh, there's nothing there. And they just stared around where they're like hit and refresh. Because apparently they fucking hate it when you use those things.
So I'm off that now. Makes sense.
I'm on the call them up directly method now. Say, hello, do you have a room available?
Yeah.
Might I stay there?
And that way no money going to big tech either.
Yeah, just they're not taking a little hotel cream off the top. Yeah. A lot of places that's also crazy. Now, the hotel websites will say, it's cheaper to book through us directly. Yeah. Please book through us directly.
Well, they do that for food too. Like the pizza joint near our place is like, yeah, you can find us on MenuLog, but don't do that. We hate it when you do that. You
I don't want you to. We don't are on that. Uber Eats. Please, please don't.
Yeah,
because they it's take a lot of money
world
out of that.
We live in now.
They do.
Yeah, no, my hotel approach with my family, I assume, is probably something. Hey, you know how a lot of conditions are congenital, and they kind of are hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the hotels are booked in long in advance.
Okay. Yeah.
From some sort of magazine or something, right? They've been all sorted out.
Yeah.
You drive out there. Might be the Clermont Hotel where we'll all get food poisoning from bad sausages.
bad sausages at the Clermont Hotel?
Yeah. Mm. Don't go there in the 90s.
I
try
like
not to.
The freedom of the spontaneity of being able to book a hotel and like choosing the town that you're going to stay in by just being like, oh, I'm starting to get sleepy. I'll stop here. Getting it on the same
yes. night.
The only
that
time
is, that is actually nice.
It feels fucking amazing. America is the perfect country for it as well because you've got all these fucking tiny little like unincorporated communities like every 20 minutes that'll have like a fucking Best Western or whatever like or some insane like hotel from the 70s that hasn't changed even once. And like it's a nice way to do it. Australia is just like, oh, I'm starting to get sleepy. Oh, all right. There is nowhere to stop for another hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, yeah, apart from the military base.
Yeah.
Which is also literally on fire now as well. So that's good.
I found a frustrating thing about road trips was that I would say, Dad, look, we live next to a train station. Our destination is next to a train station. There are 50 direct trains a day between them. This is the only place in the United States where we can do this easily. Could we take the train? I really like trains. I would like to take the train. I didn't take a train, a proper Amtrak train, until I was 19.
Wow.
God damn.
You finally get that taste of adulthood, and you're like, I'm taking that train.
Taking the fucking train,
taking that fucking Amtrak.
Taking that goddamn train.
City to city. Point to point.
I got the sleeper train from L.A. to Flagstaff. Was my first long train experience in America. And it was fucking wonderful. It was delightful. I got a sleeper cabin for myself as well because I was splashed out a little bit.
I love that Amtrak. It's real nice.
It's beautiful. We should have...
It is very nice.
We have like rail holiday options in Australia, like sleeper trains and stuff that are so unbelievably fucking expensive.
Yeah.
I keep being it's got to be cheap because surely no one does it.
And because we all live on the coast. We all live in a big line.
Yeah.
And
like along the water.
There are train tracks on
that
line.
And there are train tracks on that line. 100%. Yeah. And it is
tip
like
to tip.
Four times the cost of flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking so nuts. I definitely want to do it at some point, but I'm going to have to inherit some wealth from somewhere.
I think we would have to change overnight at Rockhampton.
Mm. And then you got to be in Rockhampton.
It's all the labor costs because, you got to hire people to run that train the whole time as opposed to the plane where you're just there.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Hey, I think this was technically an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. Does that sound correct to you guys?
I think so.
I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
No, that was
we usually
fun.
Do the plugs up the front because we all have acquired brain injuries on top of whatever else we got, but we forgot to do that this time. So what do you want to plug?
Listen to... Well, There's Your Problem podcast. It's a podcast about engineering disasters with slides. We promise we're going to try and get more consistent about releasing episodes. Other than that, listen to all our colleague podcasts, Trash Future, Kill James Bond. what's the other one that November's on?
No Gods, No Mares.
No Gods, No Mares. Yeah. 10,000 Losses. I think Liam's doing a new one. What's it called? They only released one episode. There's one that's out.
I think you named enough of them to have covered your bases. Yes. I think we've got to get a fucking empire going. We need to have a web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got
the. We need to spread our seed.
Okay, I wouldn't.
There's always. there's the Nate Bethay averse, as they say.
Yeah. They do say that.
They do say that.
I don't know. Yeah.
We've got the. I'm trying to make a portmanteau out of Valentine Universe because there's both a V in there, but it doesn't really work. This is as good a time to remind you that Lucy has another podcast as well. Sam on Guard.
Oh.
Check it out.
Yeah. Sam on Guard. You can hear a podcast about the TV show The Good Doctor and Monk.
And Monk.
It's fun, though.
And I would say mostly more about Monk than The Good Doctor on a good episode. The Doctor is no good. Pretty ironic, given the name. You should call it The Bad.
Yeah.
You should come on the show with gear like that.
Have me on. I'm not autistic and I don't have OCD. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Justin. Thank you so much for joining us. You, the listener, thank you so much for joining us. And hell, Theo and Lucy, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
We will talk to you maybe on the bonus episode if you want to get a little bit more of this. Patreon.com/Buena Vista. Otherwise, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.